They're my two main supporters, probably. But my number one supporter is God, of course. You know, I was sitting there thinking, how many people were disappointed yesterday evening? I had to watch myself. I told someone, I said, I'm so glad my salvation don't depend on the West Virginia Mountaineers. But sometimes they sometimes test my salvation. You know, I'm thankful that no matter what happens with them, no matter what happens with anything like that in life, we can still say I'm a Christian. And the battle there is always going to be won. If you got your Bibles, go to the book of Psalm, 121st Psalm. It's a privilege to be out here with y'all again. Psalm 121, if you don't mind, just stand when you found it, in reverence of the reading. Alright, I'm just going to read the first two verses. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Each one lead out in the word of prayer. Lord God, I come to you this morning, Lord, again thanking you, God, for who you are, Lord, and for what you've done, Lord, in my life. Lord, I'm just thankful, God, that you care for us, Lord. And Lord, no matter what battles we go through down here, Lord, no matter what mountains we have to climb, Lord, you're always right there, Lord. And Lord, I know, God, we can lift our eyes into these hills, Lord, and they're going to give us the help that we need, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the holy hills, Lord. And Lord, I'm thankful, God, that we can rely on you with our battles, Lord, with our temptations, with our decisions in life, Lord. We can come to you with everything, Lord, because you said that we can come unto you, Lord. We come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy in a time of need, Lord. I'm thankful, God, that you care for us, Lord. Please help the message this morning, Lord. Lord, like always, Lord, nothing goes on my credit, Lord. I just got to do what you tell me to do, Lord. You get all the credit for everything said, Lord, everything done, Lord. Lord, mainly, Lord, we want to see someone saved, Lord. If there's anyone here that don't have you in their lives, Lord, Lord, I ask you this morning to convict them, Lord, help them to know that today is the day of salvation, Lord. Lord, I'm thankful, God, that you care for us, Lord. Again, please help us this morning, Lord. I love you for your precious name. Amen. I lift up mine eyes into the hills. I used to think this right here. Now, I'll give you a little English lesson to start off. I used to think this right here was a question. When I lifted up my eyes into the hills, from when, like pretty much saying, where does my help come from? But then it revealed to me that the punctuation there is a period. So I started thinking, well, how does a hill give me help? A hill is hard to climb. A hill's rough on you. Well, then I started thinking about the holy hills, and I heard, I think Dad preached a message on this before, but the holy hills of heaven, and you know, what no better place to look than to the hills of heaven that God has shown himself in mighty ways. And I want to talk about, first I want to start talking about a few hills, and I want to talk about, to begin with, Mount Sinai. We can look there, we see that God come down in a mighty way. Moses went up on the mountain, and the word Sinai means thorny. And this took me over an hour to figure out why in the world God would come to a place that means thorny. Well, then it was revealed to me. You know, back when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it said that you're going to grow thorns and thistles. It was a curse of sin. Anytime you see thorns, Paul talked about a thorn in the flesh. You know, that means a curse. But I started realizing, then I found out that when Moses was walking, he saw a bush on fire, and I found out that was a thorn bush. What are you saying? I'm saying that God come through the curse, and he spoke deliverance into us. Let me tell you something now. God come through our curses of sin, and he spoke deliverance into us. We have a way out. Well, then we see here on this mountain, the thorny mountain, and you know what? God come down, and he dwelt among the thorns. And let me tell you something now. God come down amongst our sin, amongst my sin in my life. And let me tell you something now. He come in, no matter what sin was in your life, if you're a Christian, he come and took it all out. He burned it all up. And you know what? I was sitting there thinking, I thought, you know what? A day before God come and dwell on that mountain, you'd look and you could see a mountain covered in thorns. But that next day, all you could see was the cloud and the Holy Spirit among it. What are you saying? I'm saying, you look at a sinner the day before they get saved, you see a life full of sin. But the day that they get saved, you don't see that sin no more. You see the Holy Spirit living in their life. Let me tell you something now this morning. You don't see my sin. You see the Holy Spirit living inside of me, and he paid the ransom for me, and I'm thankful for that. And I can look on that mountain, I can see God dwelling with man among my thorns, among what I have done. He still looked me and found it worth it to come and die for me. You know, I like that, and I like, you know, this is where the law was made, and where God wrote on the tables. And you see a mighty connection between God and Moses, and how God loves the children of Israel so much. You know, we can look on that mountain and think about how God loves us. We can go refer to that mountain and think about the cloud that was over it, and the presence of the Holy Spirit said that there's lightning coming from that mountain, and the mountain quaked so much that it scared the children of Israel. That's how mighty my God is. How great is our God. And I'm thankful that we have a God so mighty, so wonderful, but yet he still comes to us in the softest way. You know, Elijah was up on a mountain. God said, go stand on that mountain. And Elijah said, I saw a great earthquake. God wasn't in that earthquake. I saw a big fire. God wasn't in that fire. I saw a big wind. God wasn't in that. But afterwards, a still small voice.
Yeah.
We'll tell you something now. Sometimes I fall guilty of this. I'll look at the biggest things. I'll think, well, God's for sure in that thing. Or I see this, I'll think, well, God's right there. But sometimes he's so close, he just talks in a still small voice. And he leads us and guides us with that still small voice. The most beautiful thing you could ever hear is the still small voice of Jesus Christ. Mount Nebo. You know, this mountain was a very special mountain to Moses again. You know, God led him up here. He said, you're going to go up here. And he told Moses, he said, you're going to die on this mountain. But Moses went up there and God said, I want you to look over there. There's the promised land. That's what your children of Israel is going to be going to. You know, I've been on mountains before. God's led me. And, you know, I get a glimpse of heaven. You know, I'll be up there on the mountain. I'll see the children rejoicing. I'll see us people raising their hands. I'll think, I'm seeing a glimpse of heaven. You know, I can see that. But, you know, our pastor revealed something that was just amazing. We know back on Mount Sinai that God said, I'm going to pass by. I'm going to let you see my hinder parts because if you see me face to face, you'll surely die. And we see that. But I want to show you something here. There's a poor Mount Nebo here. And this is right after Moses died and went on. It says, and there arose not a prophet sent in Israel like unto Moses, who knew the Lord face to face. Amen. Let me tell you something. I think God might have shown the promised land and said, hey, Moses, just look up. You know what? He saw the face of God, and I believe he got to go up and see him. You know, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we can look upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, like the brother said. You know, I'm thankful. He said in Hebrews, said, but we see Jesus, who's made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He did that for me. He did that for you. I'm thankful for that. But then we'll go a little bit farther down the road. Jesus had lived his life here. And he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, which was in the Mount of Olives. And God showed this to me before. To get olive oil, what they have to do is they have to pick the olive out of the olive tree, off the olive tree. They take it to a press, which then crushes the olive. And then out of that comes water and oil. What do you mean? Well, Jesus, what a better place for him to be when they took him. They picked the olive off the olive tree. What do you mean? They separated him from the Father. And then guess what? They went on, put him on the cross and crushed him, crushed his flesh. And guess what come out? Blood and water. That's how we can get our anointing. We see the anointing, they're anointing with olive oil. They anoint people with it. And that resembles the Holy Spirit. And that's how we get the Holy Spirit from that. So we can look on the Mount of Olives and see the anointing of God. And how God come down in a mighty way. Upon the cross, and did that all for me. But then that leads us to Calvary. You know, I believe that the devil has a big red dot on the map. You know, he says, if I could just take over that one place, then I have it made. But let me tell you something now. The battle was won thousands of years ago when Jesus died on the cross. I want to look back at those thorns again. You know, we see God speaking out of those thorns. And then we see God dwelling among the thorns. And right here, let me tell you something. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. What do you mean? They placed the sinful life, the sinful curse upon Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know what?
Right.
Here we see him wearing the thorns. Hey, man, I'm thankful. He wore the sins for me. He wore the scarlet. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. I can look on Calvary, and I can see what all Jesus did for me.
Yeah.
I see the Savior coming down to us and dying for us. You never see that in any other way. You never see a king dying for his people. You see the people dying for the king, but here we see Jesus dying for us. You know, I can look on Calvary. I can see this. And then I can think, well, right there's where my sins were rolled away. Right there's where I became a Christian. I look back to Calvary and I see the cross. And I see where it was signed and sealed that the plan of salvation was written. And I can look on that, and I can look on Calvary, and I can think of Jesus Christ. But then, there's one more mountain I want to mention real quick. And, you know, in Hebrews again, it says, you're not coming to the mountain which may be touched by hands. You're coming to Zion. Let me tell you something. Now, Zion's referred to the church. I just want to read this real quick. In Micah chapter 4, it says, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in all the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up unto the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Now, I got to thinking about that, and I started thinking, well, it talks about in the last days people coming forth. And today I started praying. I said, Lord, today seems like people's flowing out of the land of Zion instead of into it. But then I started thinking about Pentecost. As Peter stood up and he said, "In the last days the Spirit shall pour out, the Lord shall pour out of Spirit and all flesh." That was talking about right there. We see that thousands of people were saved at Pentecost. And people were flowing in like a herd. And we can look on Zion. But something as amazing is you look at Mount Sinai, you see God coming and dwelling with man. But when you look on Zion, you see man going and dwelling with God. I'm going to tell you something now. It's the church. When I come into church, I'm in a mountain that can't be touched with hands. I'm on a mountain that the devil can't make it to. I'm on a mountain that the Lord dwells on continuously. It's Mount Zion. And let me tell you something, Mount Zion has prevailed. It's going to prevail. It's going to always prevail. And when Jesus comes back and gets his bride, let me tell you something, Mount Zion's going on. And we're going to be on the big Mount Zion, on the holy, the heaven of heavens. Let's look at the Lord of Lords face to face. I'm going to tell you something, we're going to need a new body for that too. Because I can't handle much more than I see now. When I start running the aisles, when someone jumps up and shouts, you know, I can't handle much more than that down here. But I'm going to tell you something, I can't wait to see what it's like up there. When we can run and not grow weary. When we can go and just keep going and keep praising and not lose our voices. Amen. Amen. But all these mountains we can look back on. You know, there's so many more mountains that we could have looked at. Mount Tabor, Mount Horeb, which was, they say it was Mount Sinai. But there's so many more mountains that you see happening. Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount. And it was on a mountain where he gave us all these guidance. God shows himself. Jerusalem, the temple was on a mountain. And it was on a mountain that Abraham was going to slay Isaac for God's sake. And we see God coming in a mighty way. But I want to talk a little about climbing a mountain. That's the hardest part about it. You know, we're going to be climbing mountains. But if you can just get to the top, you know it's worth it once you get to the top. But they once asked someone who climbs mountains, what's the biggest thing you're afraid of? I would have thought that they would have said falling. But they said no, the biggest thing is they're afraid of is snakes. Because the snakes are real bad in some mountains. We said, if we know that if we can just get to a certain point, there's a snake line, and once you get up past that, the atmosphere changes, and the snakes can't go up there. What are you saying? I'm saying we get up on a high mountain, we get past that snake line, the devil can't touch us. We get past that snake line, if we can just get to that point, if we can just fight for that point, then the devil can't bother us. You know, he's going to bother us. I was thinking there about the thorny. And Moses had to fight through some thorns. But once he got to the top and saw God, it was worth it all. You know, we have to fight through this war. We have to go through it and through the temptation, through the trials, through the turmoil. But if we can just make it to the top, you know, there's a certain place the atmosphere changes. We see it with the church. We see it with everything. The atmosphere changes, and the devil can't make it past that. Hey, man, I'm thankful we can get up there. But when I see the top, and I can see across the mountain, more things are revealed to me. What do you mean? I get to the top of a battle, and I see God reveals things to me. Here's why I wanted you to come up here. You know, like I said about Mount Nebo, we sometimes get a glimpse of the promised land. And I'm just thankful for those times. But, you know, sometimes I get on top of a mountain, and I think, man, I'd just love just to stay right here for the rest of my life, just stay on top of this mountain. But God says, no, you can't do that. You got to go through some valleys. You got to go through some hard times. Why? Because I see a final destination. You know, I would love to stay up on the mountain. I bet Moses would have loved to stay on Mount Sinai. But he knew there's a promised land awaiting. You know what? Tonight, this morning, we might be climbing a mountain. You might be at the top of the mountain looking over. And you might see some things in your life that's going to go, you're going to go through some hard storms, hard trials. But it's going to be worth it all once you reach that final destination. When the children of Israel crossed the river of Jordan, and they stepped foot on the land of Canaan, and they knew it was theirs. And it was worth all those mountains they had to go over. It was worth all those trials and troubles. It was worth it all to get to that river of Jordan, or to get to that promised land, which was across the river. But if you're in the valley, you're probably thinking, what's this have to do with me? How can the mountains help me when I'm in the valley? I want to look at one thing. Usually in a valley, you'll see a stream coming through. There's a river. You go up to the mountains, you'll see a river. I like to fish on the Cranberry River, but you know what feeds that river? The mountains feed it. The springs that come off of that mountain. What do you mean? What comes from the top of that mountain goes down and runs through the valleys. I'm going to tell you something now. The mountains are still going to provide you with nourishment you need to get through. They'll keep you hydrated, even if you're in the valley. Guess where the best fruit is made? It's in the valley. I'm going to tell you something. When you go through, when the Lord tries you, it's going to work up the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It's going to work all of that going through the valley. Well, if you just make it through the valley and you get it to the mountain, you know, it's going to be hard times. You're going to go through some valleys. You're going to go through some hard times in life. But it's going to be worth it all once we get to the promised land. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful when we get across the river of Jordan, we're going to look up at that mountain and God's just going to carry us up that mountain, I believe. What do you mean? When we get to the heavenly city. I just can't wait for that. But this morning, I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're on the mountain, if you're in the valley. You know, you might have been in the valley for a while thinking, Lord, I just can't seem to climb this mountain. You know, just keep trying. Come kneel down at the altar, and guess what? He provided some trees that we can grab a hold of to keep us from falling. What do I do when I'm climbing a hill? I'll grab a hold of a root, I'll grab a hold of a tree, whatever can hold me up. And it takes a lot to hold me up, but, you know, sometimes spiritually, it takes a whole lot more to hold me up than it does other times. Amen. But going through a valley, you know, we look at that as darkness. We see that. But David wrote in Psalm, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Back in those times, you know, the shepherds would lead the sheep through the valley and they would run. Why? Because there were predators waiting to kill the sheep. But right here he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even if I'm walking through the valley, I'm not going to be scared because I know God's right there with me holding me up. But this morning, you might be in a valley, you might be up in a mountain. I don't know where you are, and I know it wasn't too long, but this is what God gave me. But wherever you're at, look into those holy hills. That's where your help's going to come from. It's from the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. But if you're climbing that mountain, just keep holding on. If you're in the hardest storm of your life, just keep holding on. I promise you, there's going to be an end. And I'm going to tell you something. There's something about the calm after a storm.